Okay, we're on page Resh Lamed Hey. Sif Beis, right in the middle of the page. So we're getting to a very difficult 3 pages or so. The Rebbe's recapping and just putting it in the right perspective, the ideas we mentioned earlier in the book. And then when he gets to Resh Mem, he puts it all together very quickly and then gets into some very beautiful stuff. So it's going to be a little bit of a tough go today, and maybe a little bit tomorrow, but just hang in there. We're getting to the real good stuff very, very soon. Okay? You can tell people who are probably busy cleaning for Pesach all night. Okay. Hinei b'mamar harishon, in the first essay, Bayarna, we explain Ma'atas Inyan HaTzimtzum Shetzimtzem Hashem Yisbarach Alokuso at Shabar Mimeno Olam Hazeh. We explain the idea of Tzimtzum, of constriction, where Hashem constrained his godliness until he was able to create this kind of a world that we see here today. Rabim, even though there's many, many levels of constrainment, we only spoke about the 4 worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, Vasia. We talk about those 4 worlds. And the reason we did, and there really are more. There's infinite amount of worlds. But we spoke about the 4 primary ones. Why?
We're talking about spiritual level, different worlds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Atzilus is, it is. Asiya, though, is physical. Asiya is the world we're in. But the different worlds of existence that have different elements of reality that are totally different than each other. Yeah, but the world of Asiya is a very physical world. The fourth world.
The one we're in, but the one you're referring to are...
Well, we mentioned 4. Atzilus, okay. Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Asiya is this physical world. No question about it. It's this physical world. Right. But there's 4 worlds in general, mystically. But the truth is there's a lot more. But we only are mentioning these 4 because these are the ones that are similar to the tzimtzum of a person and the parts of his soul that we mentioned. You know, Urchai, Yechida, Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh. V'armarnu mashal mit mashpech, and we did give an analogy with the mashpech, that spout. Remember? The spout, or the wide spout with the bottle and the narrow neck. So we talked about this mashal, the mashpech. Shirak kishit nitztamtzem v'niskatzer, only when it's constrained and made smaller, then is it only able to draw forth the wine into the bottle? Ayin Shom, look over there, as we already explained that. Okay. So now, so the main point he's saying is to know there's more than 4. There really is more than 4. And we gave a very simple mushel with the spout, and the mushel was only used in terms of saying the concept of constrainment. Even though when you look at the Mashpech example, it doesn't talk about any worlds. It's one spout. But it's only used in terms of explaining the idea of constrainment in theory. Now, Avalobiyarnu Loma Gam Chulakim Olomas Larba, I didn't explain to you why are the worlds divided into 4, and why Ubamash Lamashpech, Hahiskatsus Vahitstamsimus Achasi Mitzara Rochel Lakotzer. And why, by the analogy of the spout, the making small and the constrainment is just one concept from wide to narrow. And it's not 4. We didn't break it down. Next page. And we can't differentiate from them. And to make them different, with differences. You can't give each part its own name, like we do with the 4 worlds. In other words, the spout is not exactly a 100% comparison to the 4 worlds. And we didn't really explain the differences between that. And I'm not going to explain the differences, the Rebbe's going to say. You know, in other words, he's showing you. I mean, you only know a little bit. It's like the fortress that we mentioned yesterday. Right? A little bit of the fortress. certain ideas. It is like a spout. Not that I'm lying to you, and a spout does show this idea of constrainment, which is true. It is showing us, you know, but I didn't explain why it's for this and that. As he moves on to the next paragraph, and he says, Aval ein lanu rishus lishtol, lishtol im hivdol Hashem. Number one, we don't have permission to ask the question if Hashem really did make different worlds. You know, are there such divisions of Atzilus Bria Yetzira Asiya? We don't have permission to ask these questions. Ki kein Kabbalah b'yadayno. This is a Kabbalah we have. This is the tradition that we have. Min Avram Avinu, from Avram Avinu. Hanavim, the prophets, Hatanoim, the rabbis of the Gemara. They have this tradition, so we're not going to ask any questions. We don't have permission to ask why are they separated this way? Because that was the will of God. And I haven't come now to have you understand the concepts of these differences according to our, you know, limited understanding and how they are different from each other. I'm not coming to do that. That's not the purpose of this book. Because our holy rabbis of earlier generations have already explained this in their books. So, you know, learn deeper Kabbalah books and you'll know the answers. But you're not ready for this. We're beginners. So what am I want to do? Elana Rotsim Bozel Haro says, Dugmasam Boilam. I just want to give an explanation by looking at models of them in this world. Meaning to say, Kach Darka Shal Yedias Adam. This is the way a person understands things. When a person can see something in this world that's a model of this spiritual reality, then maybe he also understands it better. And when people can look in this world and use as examples, as models, how there are differences between souls that are higher than the ones that are lower, and how they're different by names, then you can understand how the world has differences. In other words, what he's saying at this point is, I've told you some ideas before, I haven't really explained them. And I'm not really here to explain them. I just want to give you a little idea of how they work. And how I'm going to give you a little idea, I'm going to show you real things you see in this world. And from the real things you understand in this world, it's a model to help us understand a little bit, according to our level of understanding, what all these worlds are talking about. Okay, so now he's going to get to the model now. Okay, now again, this is really, the Rebbe didn't write it as clearly as he has in other places. So when we get through it today, and you're going to be a little dizzy today, then tomorrow I'll just verbally explain a few things from a different sefer he wrote, and it'll make it clearer. Okay, so if you don't have it 100% today, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Okay, and that's why I'm going to go a bit quicker, because it really is not easy to understand from here. So instead of, you know, going through it so painfully, we'll kind of go through it a little quicker, and then we'll tomorrow we'll give you more backup to appreciate what's going on over here. All right, now we're getting into the deep water now. The simple way to understand the differences in the different aspects of the soul is by looking at something else. Hu barba suge olam. If you look at the four types of things that are in this world, when we look in our world, it is for sure understandable that there are four different types of realities. Anything in this world has to fit into one of the four types of realities, which are domeim, someach, chai, umedaber. Domeim, inanimate objects. Someach, plant life. Chai, living animals. Umedaber, and speaking people, which is including non-Jews. Shekavi shedibarnu b'mamar hasheni, and as we talked about in the second essay, nefashos hein b'marom. They are descending from nefashos hein b'marom, higher levels, higher souls from above. What does this mean? So it explains like this. Nefesh hadomeim she'osa Hashem. Hashem in the higher worlds created a reality that is called Nefesh Hadomim, the soul of the inanimate realities of life. Notice, before we have anything down here, when you go to the higher worlds, so the first aspect of his creation right? Is Hashem made something called, and we don't, can't see it and touch it. It's a spiritual concept. It's called the Nefesh Hadomim. The inanimate spiritual root. That's a spiritual root too. When you look at a rock down here, there has to be a spiritual root to its reality, which is, you know, it's a sophisticated way of discussing God's will. God's will is that there should be rocks in this world, right? For whatever reason, okay? We have to have rocks. We have to be able to, you know, build homes out of brick, you know. And in the olden days, they used rocks. Whatever makes for good rocks, made for good weaponry. Whatever we need rocks for, we need rocks. Without rocks, this world wouldn't be the world it's meant to be. So there's a will of God to have rocks. So now, in the mystical way we refer to this, is called the Nefesh Hadomim, the soul, the spiritual reality that's driving the reality of this inanimate world. Alright, there is such a thing. So down here you see all different kinds of rocks, pebbles, Mount Rushmore. What's its root? The root is you go up to the highest root. Hashem created a reality called Nefesh Hadomim, the soul of all inanimate realities. And that's why it's easier to understand that now, right? Because even if you take any rock, put it under a super microscope, and you could see all the, you know, we know from physics that there are, you know, electrons and protons and neutrons and all these things that are running around like crazy. So there is some will that's causing this to exist. It's not just this thing that's sitting around there. So that's what we call the soul. Not to be confused with our soul, but it's something that's invisible that maintains its existence. Right? So that's called the Nefesh HaDomeim. Similarly, and there's not a lot of variety when you get to that realm. Not a lot of variety in the inanimate world. I mean, there's a bit. You have materials and things like that.
So its existence is maintained through the divine will. It's not created. It's just created.
Well, I don't want to go further. You know, Mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'asev reishis. Hashem renews reality every moment. So there's constant renewal happening over here. We're not going that deeply. Just saying that there is a nefesh above that is driving the existence of this below. From the initial beginning of creation, where God creates this nefesh adomim, and its function is to, through the different worlds, till we come to the world of Asiya, to have all kinds of inanimate objects being in this world. So what you see down here is a reflection of something that's up there called the Nefesh Adomim. This is all preliminary stuff because he's wants to get you eventually to Knesset Yisrael. That's where he's leading us to. Okay? But he's just telling you it's the same model, and he's really belaboring this, and I'm sure the Rebbe understands why he's doing this. I don't. Okay, and it's my problem, not his problem, Chas v'Shalom. But so, in all the details, some of us could get a little bit lost in the detail. But that's what he's saying. Similarly, we have nefesh atzomachas. You have a nefesh of tzomachas for plant life. Hamisgala, and also let's go back. It was an important word, misgala, being revealed. In other words, the rocks, the iron ore. Remember, I always loved iron ore. It was, you know, every you had in school, they always, you know, you did geography. So what are the natural resources? Iron, I never knew what iron ore was. But I used to know a lot of places had iron ore, right? So I still don't know what I mean. I guess it's something they make iron from. Right? So anyway, so all these different inanimate objects, they reveal, their existence reveals the fact that there is a Nefesh HaDomeim that drives its existence. And what I'll say later on, and that's the purpose of the inanimate objects, is to reveal that Nefesh HaDomeim that drives its existence. It reveals it. How does it reveal it? By doing what it's supposed to do. By a rock making sure it doesn't walk around. The rock could decide one day, you know, I'm bored sitting on this place for the last 3,000 years. you know, I think I'm going to get up and go somewhere else. Doesn't do that. Isn't it amazing how rocks do exactly what they're supposed to? Can you live in a world where rocks would start to move around? Where the bricks of your building said, we don't like it on this street anymore, we're leaving. I mean, there's no reason why that couldn't happen unless there's a divine force that wills it to be in its place. So, I mean, we don't think about this. We just think, that is a rock's a rock. Like, we don't even bother, you know, what are you talking about? I don't see any divineness over here. The rock's in its place. It's because we're just stupid thinkers. We don't think. I mean, you know, there are other realities. There are other realities. It's, who's to say that it had to be this way? And just because it was this way for the last few thousand years, why does it have to be this way now? You know, conditions can change. Right? So the rock could decide to not do it. Baruch Hashem, the rock's faithful. It does everything it's told to do. But who says it has to be so faithful? What if, you know, I don't even begin to talk about atomic weight and mass and all these things. But I know there's all kinds of rules, right? Certain elements have certain atomic weight, atomic mass, and that's what makes it do what it does. What if all of a sudden the atomic mass of calcium, you know, changed? You know, potassium. Just changed. Iron. It's one of the elements of iron, right? I don't know what the atomic mass of iron is. Right? No, it's more than one. Right? Somewhere over there. I think it's Fe, right? Is that Fe? Is iron? I don't know. So whatever is atomic mass, what if the atomic mass changed? Then all of a sudden it would be acting like, what if its atomic mass changed what's water? Well, I know, so I don't know what its atomic mass is. What if its atomic mass changed? The only thing that changes water from potassium is more electrons or more protons, neutrons. That's the only difference, right? Really, you're just protons and neutrons, right? Nobody knows what I'm... That's what they taught us, right? This has so many electrons and so many... So what if there's just a different amount of electrons? So it's no longer iron. It's something else, and it's different properties. And you know, so chveis, the rock, I don't know what properties the rock is, man. I can take a rock, I can be sure every day I smash it, and it doesn't change. Nothing's going to happen to it. All of a sudden that rock turned into water. Imagine all the rocks turned into water. Like, we're tired of being rocks, want to flow. So we became, wake one up day, they decided, all the little electrons said we want to be water today. We're bored. Can you imagine what happened to your house? If all the electrons and neutrons that made up bricks decided to become water one day, you know, you'd be a poor man. Right? But no, every day they do their job, mamish, loyally. Every day, you look under that microscope and the electrons are going exactly where they're supposed to go. So you know, we'd like a little, fireworks one day. We'll split a few atoms while we're working. Kaboom! You know? But no, they're just doing their job every day. And the scientist with that super microscope says, wow, they just keep this so steady and reliable. So we know, and that never makes a mistake. So that reveals there's a divine will making it happen. And that specific divine will is called the Nefesh HaTzomeach, is being revealed in them. And great holy tzaddikim could see it. They could mamish see it. Okay, so that's, you know, that's what when the Alter Rebbe, before he died, we said, he told his son, what do you see? He said, I see beams, I see walls. And he says, I just see the letters. I just see the letters. Gag, Gimel, Gimel. That's all I see. Korah for beam, Kufav, Resh, Hey. He didn't even see the beams. He saw the inner reality. That's the Nefesh Samachas. And these items, because they function so beautifully, they reveal that all the time. It's constantly being revealed. We just don't know how to look at the world. And the same thing, back inside, of the Nefesh HaTzomachas, the soul of what makes plant life happen. HaMizgala, that is revealed, v'chol rivavos min etzomech, with the myriads of types of plants. Hainu shesug zeh shel Nefesh HaTzomach, that each one of these types is in the overall grouping of Nefesh HaTzomeach. Right? When you see a rose growing, it reveals the fact that there's a nefesh atzomeach making it happen. You see a sequoia tree growing. It doesn't matter. They're all coming that way. V'chei nefesh achai, and similarly, there's something called the nefesh achai. Mista efes that branches off la'anfei nefashos shel minim to different branches of different souls, of different species. V'chol min la'atzmo shomer spino. And every species for itself watches its species. The nefesh hamin and each species, individual species, misgala, or rather the nefesh of this species, misgala rivos ishima pranish b'holmin, is revealed to the myriads of individual members of each group. At shekolish prati min tzomech v'achai eved lenefesh hamin shalo. Until we understand that each, when it says ish over here, doesn't mean human being, it means member. Ish prati, each individual member, from either tzomeach, plant life, or chai, or animal life, is a servant to the nefesh, okay, to that root of the grouping that it's in, v'hamachricho below da'at ritzono, which forces it, so to speak, without its knowledge, without its will. In other words, the plants and the animals, they're all subservient and they are bound to the rules of the kingdom that they find themselves in. So the rose is subservient to the plant kingdom, and it must reveal the soul of plant existence. And the elephant is forced to act like an elephant, and it will reveal the fact that there is a root soul for animals, the nefesh hachai, the soul of living life, right? So that's what they do, and they do a very good job of it. And because they do that, they reveal the spiritual root that's behind them. V'rak nefesh hatzameach v'achai, going out to Reish Lamed Zayin, but the soul, that root of tzameach and chai, va'anaf nefesh min haremes, and the branch of the nefesh, and this branch of that, of let's say creeping, crawling things, he also has called, that's really what makes everything. It's this nefesh, makes it all happen. And it fulfills the command of Hashem, to reveal itself, through all the different species and individuals that make up these groups. The kulam and all of them, all the detailed private individual species and types that are found in this world, they all have one goal. Everything as well as one goal. Legalos koach alokai yisbarach, to reveal the power of godliness. Asher kolechad, which each one, he'aras nitzos kocho yisbarachu. They all are an illumination of a spark of the power of the Almighty. As the prophet Isaiah says, Ki maloch al aretz kevado, because the world is filled with God's honor. I should look over there. Right? So everything in this world, everything we look into this world, it's there for one purpose, to reveal that there's a God. So on the simplest level, right, everything here is screaming out, let me reveal God. And I have a nefesh, that's my root, that wants me to do that and is having me do that. Now, although the whole world is screaming it out, human beings may not get to the level of human reality. That's where human beings come into play. Human beings come into play to use the world in a way that it becomes more obvious to mankind that everything in this world is screaming it out. I mean, as we speak, this table is screaming it out. We just don't have the wavelength to hear it. Right? Everything is screaming out. The cow is screaming. I want to reveal godliness. The rose is saying, I want to reveal godliness. Each and every one of them. Now, the trick in life is, and that's what he's going to get to. That's why I got to always go ahead of myself so you guys will stay in the game here. So what are you getting to? So I'm giving away some of the answers just to keep us attentive. So, you know, you've got, let's say simply, you've got a lamb. Got a lamb? Sheep. It's trying to scream out godliness. So how do you scream it out? So there's all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. I could take this little lamb and slaughter it. I slaughter it. I kosher the meat. And then I put it on the barbecue. And then before I eat it, I say, blessed are you, King of the universe, that everything exists by your word. And what I did is I understood that that little spark of godliness of that sheep has now been revealed in a way that man can understand that. You see, because now we have used it in a way to show it's reached its purpose. Or even before I kill it, I shear off the wool and I make clothing, or I make tzitzis, and I make a bracha on the tzitzis. Right, the bracha is really that end spot where you release the spark, so to speak. The spark is buried inside the fur of that sheep, and we're not really seeing that spark so readily. But when I go make tzitzis out of it and make a bracha on it, I release the spark. You know, I shear the wool. I made myself a wool coat, and when I wear a new coat, I make a bracha. Shechiyanu v'kimenu l'zman hazeh. Or make the bracha, Mabisha Rumim.
But we've altered something here. You see, the lamb is what, or a tree for that is, it's what a tree is, what it's supposed to be. When we make our shtender now, we alter that thing.
We're altering it, but we're bringing it to its final.
But we still maintain that.
It has the same protons, neutrons, and electrons. Yeah? It's the same thing. It's that same sheep. It's just. It's not interfered. I'm using it as God instructed me. God gave me a Torah to tell me how to use everything in this world. The fact that there's a halachas of eating meat, that means God wants me to use this sheep this way. Or the fact we have korbanos. Take these sheep and bring it on the altar. Right? There are halachas of clothing. The Torah says you got to wear clothing. Or also we have a mitzvah of shatness. Don't mix wool and linen together. So there's always, God wants to make use of it. On even a simple level, you go over to a nice smelling flower. There's a bracha you make on it. I don't even have to touch it. Right? There's a bracha we make on that. Herbs that are while they're on the ground. There's blessings you make on that. You look at Niagara Falls. There's a bracha you make on Niagara Falls. Right? So there's lots of things in this world that I should be able to expose what they're here for. Now, of course, my bracha isn't everything what they're here for, but it's on my level to appreciate this world and to look at everything in that way. It rains. Well, that's a good thing it rains. I'm going to have water and I'm going to make a bracha on that rain, right? There's so many things and man's job is to reveal it on a simpler level for more people to appreciate. If we lived in the real, if we were so attuned to the mystical world, theoretically, we wouldn't have to do mitzvahs. Theoretically, we don't live that way. The main point of mitzvah is just to get close to God. But if I really understand what it's there for before I even use it, then what do I have to use it for? What do I got to take a palm tree and shake it if I could really connect to the palm tree before I shake it? Right, but God says, no, we got to make sure that you do it in certain ways that are equal to everybody. But theoretically, you know, you could, without having to get out of your bed, you could connect to the whole world. But God says, no, but I want this world to be done in a way that everybody can appreciate it. Yeah, question.
No, I was just going to say that I think you can appreciate it without necessarily having to utilize or say the bracha. If you go to the zoo, you see all these incredible animals. Maybe you're supposed to say it, I don't know. But you can just appreciate what God created, and
that's true.
And without, you know, when you see an elephant, I mean, it's majestic. When you see a lion,
yes,
it's incredible.
That's so true. That's true.
I just don't even necessarily have to utilize it or say the bracha to be able to do it.
That's right. You don't have to.
Not everybody can do it.
A and B. God insists that we do utilize it. God didn't tell first man just sit back and watch. He's told man, I want you to take this world and want you to even reveal more and more and more. And that's what the mitzvahs are there for, to do for us. For me to take this world and elevate this world elevate means there's that godly spark, and release that spark, make that spark more manifest. Right? When I make a bracha on bread, I'm releasing the realities of this wheat that has never really expressed itself in the deepest way until it's finally with the bracha of Motzi Lechem in Aretz. So that's what God wants us to do with this world. That's the real goal of life, is to make this world scream out godliness even louder. And louder in ways that everybody can hear it. That's really, that's the only reason we have permission to use this world. Now, chas v'shalom, we do things that are the opposite of what God wants. Now we're taking these things and we're hiding God in this world. Right? That's the big problem. We're using all these things to further distance spirituality and to further magnify physicality. That's when we run into big troubles over here. So that's basically what these things are here for. Now, V'lama zeh chilek Hashem es kol nefashos elu la'arba. And why did God divide all these roots of the realities into four? Right? There's the nefesh ha-domeim, the nefesh ha-chai, the nefesh ha-tzomeach, the nefesh ha-medaber. That root for that. Why did God divide them into four? Right? Ulachalachas, Shem Yuchalatzva, and each one has its own name. Kiaf Shabalamaza, Anurayim Aosam Lagufi Mukhulakim, Ubramin Thalasvam. Because we see them different in this world. They're different, right? A rock looks different than a plant, and a plant looks different than a cow, and a cow looks different than a person. Right? You can't argue that. Why that guy did it? That's why he did it. We call Malkan Silal Nafsho Seyem, but each one of these different four realities, they're coming from souls, and they have root souls. Nafsho Seyem Tzimtzum Mikoach V'Nefesh Achas Hein. They all come from a Tzimtzum, from a power of one soul. Haklulos Zebazet, that are all incorporated one with each other. Uchamo arba'as ha'olamos, like the four worlds. Tzimtzum echad shenitztamtzem b'chol pam yoser ad olam hazeh. Each world is a greater tzimtzum until we come to this world. Right? Every world is a constriction of God. The further down we go, the more God is constrained. Who came b'olam hazeh? And that's the way it is in this world. Hakoach Aloki, the godly force, Shiniz Galabo, that is revealed, Nitztam Tzeim L'chol HaTzimtzum L'chol HaDargos. It has been constricted with all its constrictions and all its levels to the levels of Medaber, Chai, Tzomeach, and Domei. And look in the Eitz Chaim that explains this more. Okay. Ukamo Sharoim, as we see, Shenefesh Amin Hi, that the soul of this species, Rak hiskatnus v'chelek minefesh asuk, is only a smaller revelation and portion of this type of soul. Hainu, meaning to say, shenefesh min behema zo, achas hi, imsug nefesh achai b'chlal. Because the soul of the species of the animal is really one with the soul of the general animal root. In other words, what he's saying over here is, okay, I got this giant elephant, and I got this little mouse. Oh, they must have different sources. The answer is no, they have the same source. Exactly the same source. They both come from a nefesh achai. Okay, one is having more revelation of godliness, one has less revelation of godliness. But they're all from the same root. It's just a little more tzimtzum. You know, perhaps you could see more godliness in a majestic elephant than you can in a rodent. Yeah. Right? But they're from the same root. And the same thing, and from this type of tree, it's a portion from this type of nefesh, it's called the nefesh tzomeach, but it's been broken up into smaller parts. Okay, so it's not so clear over here what he's saying, but he's basically saying, is that everything here is a reflection of a tzimtzum. And there's different types of tzimtzumim, and from different realities. It's either a tzimtzum from nefesh, nefesh ha'ilan, or it's a tzimtzum of nefesh behema, or a tzimtzum of nefesh domeim. But it's all the same tzimtzum. It's the same, and it's from the same nefesh. And for whatever reasons, God's revealed a little more here, a little less over there, etc., etc. Yeah.
Does that mean like the more tzimtzum there is, the greater the differentiation that we see?
Yes. Yes, the more tzimtzum there is, the greater differentiation there is. And there's some things that are more obvious than others. Some things that are much more obvious than others.
So even these four levels are themselves a tzimtzum of...
Yeah, these four levels are tzimtzums as well. They're the resultant tzimtzumim from the nefesh above. But they all have the same job. We got to reveal that there's a power of God in this world. They all have the same job. Okay, one more hard paragraph. It's gonna get better. I'm telling you, it's gonna get better. You gotta hang on. You gotta be patient. Mm-hmm. We already see examples in this world. Even though their souls are in general fitting into the analogy of the spout, that from the wide side, it's getting more constricted and more constrained as we're going down the spout. And although from the spout we only see like one aspect, but each one is divided up into its own names. It's different levels of tzimtzum. Odzos, right? So, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're looking at a rock, there's a lot of tzimtzum. Right? But then there's going to be different levels when you get to a plant, and when you get to an animal, and when you get to people. Right? The measure of how much it's been made small and it's been constrained, it makes so much activity. Next page. When the souls are revealed, in the detail, they change a lot. And the soul of the living being, is much different than the soul of the speaker. And the plant is much different than the living one. Even though in generality it's the same. Because what do they all have in common? They all are made up of atomic mass. Aren't they? There's a little more atomic mass, a little less atomic mass. In a simple level, what do everything in this world have in common? They all have atoms. Right? Don't they all have atoms? Well, whatever produces atoms produced everything. So they're very similar. Although, well, with more atoms, more is revealed, and less atoms, less revealed. More protons, neutrons, space, all these things, and more is revealed. But they're coming from that same root. Nefesh. That higher will to reveal godliness. That's that same thing as driving everything. But there's more revealed, less revealed. Cain, Zehu, Gambar, Barahomos. That's what the four worlds are all about. V'chein, Gambar, Chamesh, Shchal, Kein, Evi, Shol. That's what the five levels of soul are all about. You know, one level has very little constrainment. When you got to the level of Chai, Yechid, very little constrainment. But we can't. But it's way beyond us. It's too spiritual. We come to the body already. There's so much constrainment. It doesn't even look like God exists at all. There's so much constrainment. In fact, we see an analogy of this in this world. Gambar Bala Amos of these four worlds. So our mind can begin to understand a little bit what's going on. We can understand a little bit what these worlds are. Just like we could see. You could see this inanimate plant, animal, human. You can see there's differences. There's difference of what's being revealed over here. And it's certainly serving different functions. And things, you know, why, but it is different. This inanimate thing can't do a lot of things. There's not so much spirituality to take out of it. Because there's more constrainment. So we understand that it must be in the four worlds, gotta be like that too. Right? So we see a model of it in this world. So Gambar Bar Salamas in the four worlds above. So Mike could get it a little bit. A little bit we can get. And that is what? That Hashem is above all the worlds. He's above Atzimtzumim Vaizgalus. He's above all the constraints and the revelations. But that part of the illumination of God, which was constrained, can be revealed in these worlds. According to the amount of constrainment, that's how much is going to be revealed of the light in a simple way. And the revelation of light, the abundant light that's in the world of Yetzira, you can't compare it with the angels that are there to the revelation of the less amount of light that's in the world of Asiya and those who live here. There's less revelation in this world than there is in the world above us. And we don't have the revelation of that part of the nefesh that's bigger in the medaber, in the speaking man, in the world of Asiya. That revelation is not like the revelation of the nefesh that's much smaller, that's found in living things, in plant, and in inanimate objects. Where is there a greater chance of revelation? With a human being or a rock? Human being. Right? It's more tzimtzum in the rock. And depending on how much light there is, ravam ma'at, a little or a lot, Oilam, Venevish, Kazeni Skala, a world or this type of soul is revealed. There's more light coming out of a human being than coming out of a rock. Lachen kol matz of tzimtzum, every situation of tzimtzum, of constrainment, nivdal benefesh ubeshem laso, is differentiated in the nefesh and in its name to itself. Lo kamash la mashrech, and this is where we part ways greatly and ultimately perceiving the example of the spout, that wine that's found, this is where the analogy is not exactly complete, where the wine you find on the wide side of the spout, huhu animtza b'tzad kasro, that's the same wine that's found on the narrow side. Verak kemidas b'midas kamusa nivel, it's only differentiated by quantity. Harbe pochus, more or less. So what he's saying, when the idea of the funnel is not exactly the same thing for the worlds. Because when you look at the funnel, what's the difference? At the top of the funnel is a lot of wine. At the bottom is a little bit of wine, but it's the same wine. So that's where the example is not exactly the same. When we talk about constrainment is revelation of God. It's not just a quantitative difference. It's a big qualitative difference. Okay, we'll continue, Mr. Shem, tomorrow. It'll become clear. Don't worry. It'll become clear. Tomorrow's going to be a very chashuv class. Very chashuv tomorrow.